Podcast Fresh.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Podcast Fresh Cafe, episode 82. Recording this on Thursday, January 18th. Okay, I know it's been a minute, but we're back. Don't fret. I am your host, Ryan Mello, aka Acapello, joined by my co-host, Chris Torres.
What's up?
Dude, it's been a minute.
It has been, hasn't it?
We have been super busy, people.
No, we haven't. You've been sick most of the time.
We haven't. I got COVID, man. Like, I got COVID for, like, I want to say 2 weeks. And now I got, like, a third week of a lingering cough.
Yeah.
Which is why I've stayed well away from a microphone. Yeah, so that sucked. That's definitely the sickest I've ever been, I've ever experienced. Like, when I say I was living on a bed, like, I was living on a bed. I did not get up unless it was to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was horrible. But yeah, that aside, we're back. Thank you, everybody, for tuning back in to the show. And yeah, 2024, Happy New Year. We got a lot of stuff to go over today. But first, Chris, plug the network.
Check us out. Check out the Podcast Fresh Network. Check out the other shows, the Gaming Asylum, the Cafe, which is this show right here. This show, we basically talk about, you know, it's mostly, I guess, video games, movies, whatever's going on, entertainment. So a lot of pop culture stuff. And then we got the Torres and Acapella show. It's more of an open mic, just talk about whatever kind of show. But if this is your first time, you might find something on the network you might like. Check us out at Podcast Fresh on Instagram. You can join us on there, as well as the other socials. We're on X at Podcast Fresh TO. And I think that's it. Send us an email at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. Oh, yeah. And the other Instagram account that we have right now is the Torres and Acapella show. You can join us on there. That one's under construction, but you can go on there and check out some stuff, some pictures and old videos that we did last year when we were, I guess, doing the photo shoots and things like that. You can go on there and check that out as well.
Yes. Very nice. That's an interesting page, the Acapella and Torres show. I like it. I like what you're doing with it. Man, so what's been new? I've recently, I chopped off all my hair, so that's been a thing. That's all gone. I've had long hair for a while now. I went crazy one day, and you know when you just get sick of it? I don't know. I just looked in the mirror, and I was like, man, to hell with all this. Shaved my head. So that was cool. What else has happened? I got an iPad recently, which is, I'm not a tablet person. I don't know if you're a tablet person. Are you a tablet person?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I have, like, I can't find really a purpose or use for this thing.
Yeah.
But the RBC, the bank, the Royal Bank of Canada, sent me an iPad because I opened a bank account with them and, yeah, and whatever. I did, like, I paid two bills and whatever, did some things. And it was part of the promotion. So they actually sent me a 512 gig blue iPad. And now I have this thing and I'm like looking at it. And it's just funny that I have this device and I have like no idea what to do with it.
Yeah.
It's like this thing's just charging. What I've been using it for is to play Marvel Snap because that it looks awesome on the big screen. Like it looks pretty legit. But yeah, now I'm the owner of an iPad that I'm probably barely going to use. And the funny part is the wife did the same thing. So now we both have iPads.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I would just sell those puppies. You can get like 400, maybe 500 for one of them.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I honestly think maybe we'll keep one, but I don't think we need to.
Yeah. That's awesome. You fell for the gimmick. So you're like, hey, let's get two iPads. Let's open up some accounts.
It just kind of, it wasn't even that. It just kind of lined up to where I needed another account because like I opened a business and stuff. And then I was like, RBC's doing a promotion.
Yeah.
Let's do the iPad.
So Tiff was like, let me get in on that free iPad thing too, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. She actually got hers first, to be honest.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did you discover this deal? Because usually you're asleep at the wheel, right? When it comes to these promotion stuff, like other people are bringing it to your attention, right?
Yeah, I usually don't care.
Yeah, like my father famously brokered your cell phone deal when your contract was coming up and tips or something like that. And he goes, you know, they're doing all these promotions. They're giving out like gift certificates and stuff like that. And tips like, they are? My dad's like, yeah, that's what it says here. And he sent her the posting or whatever. And I think Tiff's phone was up for renewal or whatever. And same thing, you both ended up getting the renewal.
Yeah, we were both.
Let me put myself in more debt. Yeah, and that's how you guys buy your cars. You didn't need a car, but Tiff went to replace her car, and then you're like, you know what? Fuck it. Hit me up with the car. You got a car too.
A car?
Yeah. When Tiff went to go get her SUV, you decided to replace her car too. So it was kind of like a 2-for-1 kind of deal.
Oh, but mine was on the fritz though, and they were offering to get like buy it off me for like an upgrade. So I took advantage of that.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure what to do in that situation, but it kind of worked out at the same time also.
Yeah,
that's funny. What's been up with you, man? We haven't done a show in like 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, I've been chilling, man. I got back into acting classes, so I've been doing those on Mondays, and it's been going really well. So so far, so good. I'm about 2 classes in. Got the 3rd class on Monday, and you know, just gonna see it through. Go onto acting level 2, and then 3, and then 4. It goes all the way up to 7. And, you know, bit by bit, you know, it's something that I put down like 20 years ago. So it was really cool to be able to turn around now and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do it now under my own terms, you know, and do it as a hobby. I have no head in the cloud, crazy dream about, you know, being up there with Denzel Washington or anything like that. But it is something that I want to take more serious than just a hobby. It's a craft, and I want to study it. So, and it's been good. And it's not like I'm starting from scratch. I mean, I am starting from scratch in terms of the classes, but, you know, I studied film from 2-3 years in my early 20s. So I have a little bit of a background in it, but it's nice to sort of, it's nice to be back in those studios and those sets and just be, you know, working on it. So I've been doing that. I've been getting a little bit more active. I've been out there, you know, walking more. I've went back to the gym, right? So I've been doing that. And that's kind of it, man. Just been chilling. We've had a deep freeze here for the last little while. I'm not going to complain too much because you guys get way more snow than we do. But it's just a cold at this point, you know? But nothing to complain about there. I mean, winter's almost done, right? We've had it pretty good, I would say, so far.
I think the worst is still yet to come. I think in terms of cold, we're definitely still to hit like the minus 30s.
Yeah.
My morning walk from the car to work is absolutely dreadful. Like, it is my least favorite thing.
How long's the walk? Like a football field?
It's a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we have like designated parking lots, and that's like the only place we can park.
That's
really
brutal.
And from my car to inside the building, it's like... And I always have a coffee, and my coffee, like by the time I'm like halfway, my hand starts shaking because I'm fucking shivering, and like my coffee's dripping all over the place.
Not coffee dripping. Yeah.
Coffee dripping. It sucks.
You got to get some like heated pants and stuff, you know?
The problem is once I start working, I'm hot and I'm in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Inside. So it's like, I don't want to do that because then I'll suffer inside, and I'm obviously inside more than I am outside.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my issue.
How long's the walk? Like a football field? I think I asked about that.
I said about 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Why is the parking lot so far away from your work?
Because it's like...
Does your boss hate you that much?
No.
The balls in this
park. It's all designated like for it to be condos, right? So it's like this land with some condos, but the parking lot is well away from everything.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it's either that or, you know... Get screwed because there's no other way, really.
Right.
There's no other way to put your car.
But as they build the condos, the parking lot will get closer and closer.
Technically, yeah, but we're looking at like years of
you'll be all right. For that. You'll be all right.
So, no, I'll be. Yeah,
sure. I believe in you.
I'm going to start taking my like a scooter or something.
Yeah, you could.
I could. Until I get to like the rugged terrain.
One of my friends got a scooter as a Christmas gift. Can you believe this bullshit?
How old is he?
How old is who?
Your friend.
She's like 32, 33.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but she went to this Christmas party.
Oh, shit.
And you know, you think you go to a Christmas party. Like, I got $100 cash. That was my thing, right? And listen, I'm not complaining. I'm like, thank you. You know, I have Christmas parties. Christmas parties change so much from company to company. But what I always say, and stop me if I'm wrong, you can always judge how good a company is doing by their Christmas party. You know what I'm saying? In most cases. Not all cases, but in most cases.
I definitely don't agree with that, but okay.
Well, that's what I mean. In most cases, right? Like some companies can afford to do a big, you know, ballroom thing with gifts for the family and stuff like that, whatever, right? I've seen it. And they don't. It's like, hey, help yourself to a slice and thanks for coming over. Thanks for another great year, whatever the fuck, you know, like the meme goes. And sometimes there are companies that, you know, maybe had an okay year, but they're like, you know what, to hell with it. We're going to do a wicked Christmas party. You're like, damn, it's a good Christmas party. Everything's good. Like, no, the company's not doing well, actually. But they wanted to get morale up, so they did a good party. Whatever it might be. I remember when I was working for a company like 2-3 years ago, we got bought out by another company, one of these conglomerates that, you know, they specialize in increasing profits but reducing spending. It's like...
Sounds like the video game industry.
Dude, these... Dude, these motherfuckers took over in October, and the first memo they sent out was that the Christmas party was canceled.
Oh, Jesus.
And the Christmas party, we would go to like we would go to a banquet hall, and we'd have food and stuff, and it'd be like, not open bar, but we'd get like tickets, right? And even with the ticket system, all you have to do is just become really good friends with the person that's handing out the tickets, and it's basically like an open bar, right? Or somebody that doesn't drink will give you their tickets or whatever, right? But the first thing they did was they canceled the Christmas party. I was like, shit.
Damn.
Yeah.
In my case, like, the Christmas party is the only time I get to really see, like, the rest of my friends that I'm not working with on site.
Yeah.
So it's like, there are cases where I see people, like, once a year. So I look forward to going. And usually it's at, like, a nice, like, restaurant.
There you go.
You know, it's not like a banquet hall or whatever, but it's a nice little restaurant.
Yeah.
My cousin is usually in charge of the drink tickets, so she's always slipping me extras, which is a nice little perk I got.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not like, I like where I work, and, like, I'm not, like, shitting on it. But I've heard, like, before I joined the company, it used to be so much bigger.
Yeah.
And like people could bring their wives and stuff. And now it's like, you can't do anything.
That's everywhere though. Most places, unless you're working at like, you know, some specific place, like usually, you know, you can get a plus one sometimes, but I'm seeing more and more like I was in a lot of areas, like a lot of restaurants this past Christmas where it would be like, it's very obvious there's a Christmas party over there and just look like all like solo people. Right. So I was like, okay, whatever. But yeah, man. So she got a scooter at this Christmas party. I was like, holy shit.
All right.
So everybody got like a gift. Yeah, you're talking about your work parties from like 1999. And I'm like, what the fuck? So everybody got something around like the $500 range. I was like, shit, that company's doing all right. Yeah. But anywho, you probably should get a scooter for that walk. That sucks.
Scoot, scoot.
Yeah.
I guess the biggest news that happened in my time off is... well, Ryan's going to be a dad.
Yeah, there you go.
that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's the end of your life.
My life.
We'll see if you can play 24 games this year.
No, definitely not. But breaking news, because you don't know this, we found out the gender today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now.
Live. Yeah, what is it?
I'm having a boy.
Hey, I knew
I'm
it.
I'm having a boy. I honestly thought it'd be a girl. But
that's awesome. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
That's great.
A little boy.
Another boy. That's great.
Little Ryan Mello. Chris is an uncle for the fourth time.
Yeah, fourth time.
Nice.
Hey, he's a good prospect. Yeah. He might become my favorite nephew. You never know, you know? The ratings can go up. The ratings can go down, you know?
He's got some mixed blood.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll often tell, I have two sisters. I have no problem saying, you know what? You were sister of the year last year. Congratulations. You know, and usually it's streak versus streak. Cause one of them will go on like a 2-year winning streak and then it'll flip the other way. Right. But,
everything is statistics.
Everything's stats. Yeah, absolutely. You can break everything down to a number. You know what I'm saying?
You got like a little book at home.
339. The 444 curse that I keep seeing everywhere. But yeah, man, that's cool. A little boy. That'll be fun.
Little boy.
Yeah.
Time to turn that bastard into what I want. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. All right, that's enough introductions. Let's get into the mailbag. You could email us at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com if you haven't ever. I encourage you to do so. All right, and number one, I like this because this kind of like I can relate to this question, I guess, or I'll be able to relate to it. I recently started a second job, and now raising a kid with the wife, it's become harder than ever to keep up with the gaming backlog. Any tips to stay on top of it, or is it a losing effort the entire way through? Greg from Atlanta. Chris, what do you think of this?
It's a losing effort the entire way. You'll never catch up on the backlog. And once you accept that, it becomes a lot easier. You know?
Yeah, I think even without kids and wives, like, I think the backlog is... It's impossible to really conquer the backlog. Like, I've actually done a pretty good job. I got to play things in the past couple years that I've always wanted to, and I actually saw my way to doing it, like Majora's Mask and Earthbound and all that stuff. Those are always staples that I wanted to do. And I think the podcast, doing that raffle hat thing that we did, like, that was definitely like, it was almost like, okay, it's an obligation to do this, right? So I'm happy with the state of my backlog. I don't really have anything that I need to do. Like, I feel like I've done everything I need to do. There's stuff I want to do. There's games I want to play for sure. But I've just accepted the fact that it's like, when it's a down year, like last year, it was almost impossible to play things from the backlog because it was just new games are coming out constantly that I'd rather play. But, you know, when you have a down year or whatever, or like, you know, you're just not buying games for a period of time, you just kind of want to chill with what you got, that's when you tackle your backlog. But backlogs are supposed to be, you know, there for a reason. They're backlogs for a reason. They very rarely ever get conquered.
Yeah, it's tough. So I would just say embrace it, you know. And what I always push is forget that fear of missing out bullshit. Just don't even worry about it. You know, your life will be fine. You know, you'll miss it. It's fine. It's not a big deal. But yeah, try to get to the games that you want to play. You know, get rid of this completionist thing. I was talking to one guy. It was like a little while back. And I forget what podcast he had started listening to. It might have been the Joe Rogan Experience. And this guy was starting from like episode one. Okay. There's more than 2,000 episodes, right? Ranging, and there's some long ones, right? Yeah. And I'm like, why would you do it to yourself? You're just going to burn yourself out, and you're never going to get to the good stuff. He goes, I will. I'm about 150 in. I go, at the time, it was maybe 1,500 podcasts. But I'm like, you're just going to burn yourself out. You're never going to get to the new stuff. You might as well just start listening to the current stuff and then do your own research and figure out what episodes were good or, you know, things that you should go back and check out and do it that way, you know. But he had this sort of completionist thing. And I'm like, got to get rid of that, right? Completionist, yeah. But yeah, no, it's just one of those things, right?
I can relate to that. I did, I listened to IGN's Nintendo podcast from beginning to current at one point. When I found it, I don't know why. It was just like I wanted to. It was interesting to hear people's opinion on stuff that had happened in the past. Right. Like hearing people speculate on what could happen and me knowing what did happen because I'm in the present. That was like fun for me. So I actually listened to like all, I don't know how many episodes they have now, like 600 or something. But I did that. But the Joe Rogan one is like, that's a selective thing where it's like, I might go back and see who his guests were and, you know, guests that I'm actually interested in, I'll probably listen to, but to listen to absolutely everything, God damn.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So I don't know if he ever did complete that cause I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but, yeah, it's like, no, there's not enough time. There's also not enough time to do all this stuff. Right. But,
and you can burn yourself out from it.
Like, well, that's what I mean. And you never even get to the good stuff. You never get to, you know, what something sounds like 10 years ago is completely different to what it sounds like now. And you're right. The quality of guests does change your perception of the show, which may or may not work into your favor. For example, sometimes you'll have a random guest on that you'd never heard of, but actually a really good show. And then sometimes you'll watch it with like a really good name brand guest, but it's actually not very good. Like I heard the Joe Rogan Experience with The Rock recently from December. It wasn't very good podcast at all. There was nothing interesting. They just stayed on surface level, just laughing the whole way, right? There was nothing there. And they could have easily had a very intelligent conversation about politics or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. Maybe it's the wrong format for that kind of dialogue. Well, not really. Not really. But yeah, it was a very... It was a podcast that, like, you know, if you're 12, 13 years old and you've just heard about this rock guy, you might tune in and watch and listen a little bit, but there's nothing there you're going to get out of it that you're like, wow, unbelievable. Did not see that, you know?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, no, not my competition.
So Greg from ATL, embrace the backlog, love the backlog, keep adding to the backlog, and it's like a giant mountain, and just know that you'll never finish it, you know?
But it's good to dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, what if I were to go into a backlog right now, like, what would I play? I honestly can't think of anything. So I think I'm pretty good with my backlog.
Technically, anything you're not playing is in your backlog, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, something that's like, oh, I still got to get to that. Like, it's always on my mind. Oh, I still got to get to that.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that for me. So it's like, I guess I've done everything.
Yeah.
All right. How do you guys feel about the recent comments from Ubisoft about how people need to get comfortable with not owning their games? That I hate reading that. Paul from New Brunswick. Yeah, that was a couple. That was like yesterday or 2 days ago. That was wild. I think that it, like, you know, me and you is like, especially we always talk about digital versus physical and how digital is going to take over and all that. Like, but to we don't ever. We never worded it like this, where we're like, we need to get comfortable with not owning what we buy. I think that's just wild to say. What else
did he say there? What's the context? Because that's the line. But what was this? Was this a tweet? Was this a conversation? What is this?
I believe it was a conversation.
Okay, so there's more to this.
There's a little more to this. But basically what he said was how people give up, they gave up their CD collections, they gave up their DVD collections, because now we can just stream music and stream movies. And obviously, these companies want to go into that direction with the games. He's saying that we got comfortable with that, and we could get comfortable, we should be able to get comfortable with the games aspect of not owning them, but streaming them. He's like, he said something like, what is the difference between owning it and not owning it if your save file will always be there? Like, it, whether you turn it on now, turn it on later, as long as your save file is there, then it should be fine. And it's like, that's one way to look at it for sure. But I think it's just that CDs and movies, like CDs were $13 Canadian and movies were like, I don't know, if you buy a brand new movie, it's like $24. Brand new games are almost $100. You know, it's I don't want to say it's an investment, but it's definitely more of a, you're definitely pumping more money into that kind of hobby rather than the other forms of media. So I should own it. Like, I should be like the owner of that, because I literally paid for that. But I mean, if where we're headed is a subscription model where it's like you pay X amount a year and you have access to all this stuff, then it's like, okay, who am I to like really talk shit about it? Because I am doing that with other forms of media. So I understand that. But in my opinion, until all physical stuff is off the shelves at these stores, then we can't have this conversation. Like, they'd have to force everybody to like do that. You know what I mean? Because even digital isn't safe anymore. You buy something digitally and then like all of a sudden they could pull it from their end and like you can't play it anymore. It's crap. All of it is crap. And I've always said it's crap and I'm not going to change my opinion on it. But if it's a subscription service, if we're heading into that thing, it's like, okay, I guess this is how we do games now. And you kind of, you're with it or you stop playing. But until that happens, I mean, I feel like we're always going to have a say in the choice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I said, it's, were they specifically speaking about streaming?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you know, that's never going to work. At least not for the foreseeable future. Internet still doesn't work properly, man.
Yeah, there's that too.
I live in one of the biggest cities in the world, Toronto, with some of the best infrastructure, some of the worst infrastructure. But in terms of, like, technology, like, we have pretty good infrastructure in that sense. We have fast, you know, fiber optic internet and all this other nonsense. But even here, there are still dropouts. There are still dropouts from Rogers, which is one of the, you know, the biggest communication companies here in Canada. And so it doesn't really matter. So, you know, in terms of the streaming, there's that issue there. And that's a big issue. You know, you go on vacation to Miami and you want to stream. It doesn't work. There's some network issue, some nonsense, you know. And it's like, if I had the goddamn physical, I wouldn't have this issue, you know. So, but yeah, it's, you know, the world is changing. And he does bring up a good point that, you know, we got comfortable with the Spotify's and everything like that. I mean, a couple weeks ago, you were asking me what to do with your CD collection. I go, I don't know, dude. I have no idea. And then part of me is like, will there come a time in the future where it would be like, shit, I should not have thrown out all my CDs, you know?
Yeah.
Like if the world becomes so, I don't know, it's just like music can be pulled from Spotify because they find out that this artist did this or this artist stood for that. And in that time, in 2040, 2045, those things are looked back on like, wow, that's a real negative thing. That's problematic is the big word. That's problematic. So they have to pull this music, right? So I don't know. It's like who becomes gatekeeper, who doesn't become gatekeeper. But for me, it's kind of like, you know, it's a time of change, and we're going to keep seeing these subscription services and things like that. But it's interesting, you know, and all you can do is just keep fighting against it. Keep buying physical, right? I think it was the Blu-ray market. I want to say in the last couple of years, physical's actually made a comeback. Like they've actually purchased, beginning to buy more physical media than in previous years. I'm not sure if that's because, I don't know what the reason to be for that, but I mean, you know, it sucks. You know, look at the Sony digital movie service that they had on the PlayStation 3 and 4. You know, how long are those movies yours? Well, forever, as long as you remain a Sony customer or whatever it is. And now all those things are getting delisted, right? Enough people made noise that they're not removing it. They're not removing it for now. It's a stay of execution. That's all it is. I mean, not that those movies are like the cream of the crop. I mean, there's just a lot of, I think Tubi might compete with the quality of some of that stuff that's on the Sony service. But yeah, you're going to see more and more of it. You're going to see more subscription-based stuff, more. There's definitely more of a subscription tribalism, so to speak, kind of thing with it, right? And it does make you wonder if it was a lot easier when it was, everything just stood on its own and you had your choice of just bundling things together, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a shift. I think we're just used to how things are because it's been like this since the inception of video games. So to put yourself in the mindset of like, oh, I don't own this now, but I'm going to play it whenever I want because I can apparently on a box that might or might not, you know, get an update. Like, I don't know. It's like a lot of it isn't in our hands anymore. And that's kind of like the problem
right.
to me. But
yeah.
But whatever. I mean, it's something we can't really fight against. So until, you know, they pull the physicals off the shelf, just keep buying physicals. If you want to do digitals and you trust that, then do that. But yeah, it's, I think the next 5 to 10 years will be like a pretty monumental change with this stuff.
I think possibly even sooner. I mean, we've heard the death of the consoles, right?
Yeah, there might not be another gen, right?
Yeah, there might be the end of the gens, right? Because everything's so fluid. You can pretty much flip everything over to PC now, right?
I mean, think about it. I still stand by the fact that like this generation, I am still like not impressed. Like, it's like, I don't really feel like we started the generation yet. These consoles came out too soon. I'm yet to really feel like this generation feels like the next generation. I still feel like we're stuck in PS4, Xbox One era kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think also the technology is plateaued a little bit, you know. I mean, a lot of it too is cost, right? That's why some of these guys, they have these PCs and some of these modded PlayStations where they're able to run the resolutions at like really high rates or whatever, right? And you're not going to be able to do that and still have your console sell at a appreciatively competitive price, right? But that's where the PC market exists, because the PC market's kind of like, how much can you soup up your car? There's no limit. You can crank that thing as much as it can. And that's probably the best way to enjoy games at the right frame rates and all that fun stuff. But there is a cost to that technology.
I will say, recently I've been really dabbling with emulation a lot, with like playing PS2 games, playing, you know, Xbox games. It's insane to me that like it runs as well as it does on my laptop, which I don't think it's anything special, but I guess it does the job. And recently I've been dabbling with like PSP games, and it's like, you know, why am I going to deal with all this bullshit when I have all this right at my fingertips? It sucks. But I recently saw something on Facebook. It was like, if buying your games doesn't mean you own them, then pirating games doesn't mean you're stealing them. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's my new motto.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a give and take. I believe in that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think all media is, I think people want to own something, you know, whether it's, But we need a promise. We need a promise that if I buy something digitally, I can have this for 30, 40, 50 years, not whenever the digital infrastructure changes again. You know what I mean? Or this company gets bought out by that company, so this service doesn't apply anymore. So, you know, we get rid of it. By the way, here's 10 tokens. You know, it's like, what am I going to do with these tokens? You know, you just
10 tokens.
You know, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it changes going forward. But we're in a strange time where I think we're going to move toward that sort of subscription model with gaming. It's kind of scary, but we'll see what it looks like on the other side.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Thank you, Paul. All right. That was the mailbag. Thank you for writing in. Again, write us in at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. All right, let's talk about the movies. Until Dawn movie in the works. Until Dawn. That was a game for the PS4, I believe. I remember you lent it to me. I liked it. Definitely a cinematic game if I ever saw one, where it's like, you know, button prompts and there's a bunch of endings. There's different ways the story can go. And yeah, they're turning it into a movie, which I think is a pretty good move. I mean, if you're going to turn a game into a movie, might as well be something like this. And it's from the director that did Shazam and Lights Out. Chris, have you seen Lights Out?
No, I haven't.
Okay. And I'm assuming you didn't see Shazam. I didn't see Shazam. Shazam is pretty crap. So I don't know. What do you think about this? Because you're definitely a fan of the game. You lent me the game. You hyped it up. You talked really good about it. And you did not disappoint, because I thought it was great too. How do you feel about it being turned into a movie? Do you think it's something we need? Or do you think it's like, you know, are you down with the idea?
I mean, Until Dawn is a game of... what is it like? They do like a bunch of teenagers do like a sleepover at like a camp resort or something?
Like a
prom after cabin. Party kind of thing?
They go to like a cabin.
Graduation party. Yeah, and you control all the characters, and you know, you get a, you know, the better rating would be how many of those characters you can save and have them live to the end. Yes. So now they're turning that into a movie. It's almost like a Friday the 13th kind of thing, you know? I mean, yeah. I think this is going to continue going, you know, like I said, I feel like video game movies are going to be on the up and up, especially with what we've seen with some of the TV series being made and, you know, the success of things like Sonic the Hedgehog, right? So yeah, Until Dawn should be interesting. I mean, I'm not against it at all. It's probably just be a silly popcorn movie. I don't think it needs to take itself too serious, right?
Yeah.
But it's a great game. It's one of those pick-your-own-adventure kind of games with multiple endings and different things that you can do in different endings for each of the characters. So I don't know if I'm excited, but I'm open. I'm open-minded to it. It should be fine. It's a fairly safe story to tell, I think. It's hard to screw up, right? At the worst, it's going to be really cheesy and cliched. At the best, it could be something where, you know, the director takes a couple liberties here and there and like, kind of makes it his or her own, right?
It just reminds me of like a classic horror, like you said, Friday the 13th kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, there were some big names attached to this game. Hayden Panettiere was in it. Rami Malek was in it. Do you think those people could what's it called? What's the word?
Yeah, they can be
anyways,
in it.
Get their roles again.
Yeah.
Because do you think that would be, that'd be kind of cool.
Well, yeah, because they're in the game, but they're also digitally inserted with their own likeness.
Yeah, they look like themselves.
So, yeah, I forgot that Rami Malek's in it, too. That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be awesome. That'd be interesting.
I want that. I'm not watching it unless that happens.
All right.
that's
a hot take, I guess. Yeah.
God damn it. No, it's not. They're in the game. They can be in the movie. They're not doing shit. What's Rami Malek doing? I haven't heard his name in a while. Yeah, so this is cool. This is, I don't think there's any release date for this, but.
No. It's early on with that one. Yeah.
Nice. Until Dawn. Okay, real quick, in the time that we haven't done a show, I watched the third season of Dave, which is Lil Dicky's show. That was a nice little... it was definitely probably the weakest season, but it was a nice cap off to the series. They got a lot of guests in there. They got Rachel McAdams, Brad Pitt, Drake, Jack Harlow. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I liked it, though. It was good.
Is that scripted?
I recently saw... Yeah, it's a scripted show.
Okay.
It's semi-loosely based on Lil Dicky's life.
Gotcha.
How he came up and stuff. Like, there was this funny thing where the internet... I forgot how it happened now, but he went silent, and then the internet thought he died. But he was kind of struggling with getting views. So when he quote unquote died, all his music streams went up. So his manager was like, we got to ride this for a couple days, man. This is really helping our situation. Yeah. So they're like hiding out. It was funny. So saw that. And then No Hard Feelings was a movie I recently watched with Jennifer Lawrence. This movie's new. I think it came out like late last year or something like that. This movie is basically about, there's this very like, you know, timid kid who's about to go to college. His parents with the dad is Matthew Broderick. His parents put out an ad on Craigslist to find a girl to basically break him out of his shell. And in return, they'll give the girl a car. Jennifer Lawrence's situation is she's about to lose her house. She's an Uber driver, but her car gets like towed or something. Mm-hmm. So she needs a car. So she sees this and then she's the one that goes and tries to like, you know, give this kid like a good night to remember and stuff. But the thing is, he's so like timid. He wants to fall in love first before like, he doesn't want to just, you know, have sex and all that stuff. He doesn't really drink. He doesn't do any of that. So it's a whole story about like, how is she going to like break this kid open? But it turns into more than that. Right. So it was actually a pretty good movie. And it was really funny. I actually really,
it's on Netflix.
Was it? No, it's on Prime.
Gotcha.
It was on Prime.
Yeah. Oh, that was a Prime movie.
It was a no. It went to theaters.
Oh, okay. So it quickly went to Prime then.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that was maybe in the fall, I think, that movie came out.
Yeah, because I remember we covered it in the box office.
Right. There you go.
So yeah, that was pretty good. But anyway, screw all that. I want to hear what you have to say about the movie you watched.
Oh man, I finally saw. Well, not finally, but I went back to the theater finally.
Right.
Got me back to the theater. I hadn't been to a theater in like over a year, and I went to watch The Iron Claw. And it's so funny because I went with my friend Victoria, but I didn't tell her what the movie was about, right? So the Iron Claw is about the Von Erich family, the brothers. And at one point they were considered like, you know, the curse of the Von Erichs. But in reality, it was just like a lot of bad stuff just happened. There was a couple of accidental deaths and, of course, some suicides as well. I just said to her, hey, come watch this movie or whatever. I told her what the movie was. I told her it was like a wrestling movie, but I knew it was going to be a little bit heavier than that. So we went in there and we checked it out. It was really good. The first hour is really awesome. Just with the choice of the music and, you know, a lot of these based on a true stories, they start off so good, so full of hope, right? And so it was good. It was a really, really good build up. And then the second half of the movie is just like when all the tragedies start happening. It's like one after another after another. But it was really good. It's got Zac Efron in there, Jeremy Allen White, a bunch of other guys. This was a movie by A24. And it was good. I really enjoyed it. My only issue is that sometimes the movie felt a little bit uneven. Like they really took their time with some things. And then other things were like, it was moving by like really, really quickly. But overall, I would say I think they nailed as a movie, like it's presented really well. I like the use of the music and the sound, and the performances are really good too. Although, man, there's one really bad performance where I forget the guy's name, but he plays Ric Flair in the movie. Okay. And it's just like the worst Ric Flair. I could do a better, maybe not me, but I've seen better Ric Flair impersonations done, right? But for whatever reason, he got cast. It just wasn't convincing. I mean, I'm sure the guy tried or whatever, but it felt like he was pretending to be Ric Flair in the movie as opposed to, okay, he's acting like he's Ric Flair. That's cool. I believe it, you know? So it's just one of those things. But that one kind of stuck out. That one kind of stuck out as a you know, an awkward performance. But the rest of the movie was good, man. I would probably give this movie like a solid like 7.5 out of 10. Really, really good movie. It's one of those things where it's based on the world of pro wrestling. So, and it's a movie, so of course they're not going to nail everything, and they are going to take creative liberties. Like they omitted an entire brother did not exist in the movie. Even though he did exist in real life. So there's a little bit of that. But it's cool. MJF is in there. He plays one of the wrestlers for like one scene, one of the wrestling scene. The wrestling scenes are done super well. Like I was so impressed with the way they did it.
Oh, nice.
Cool. And just like great usage of the music. There's some Rush in there, right? Some really good stuff. But definitely The Iron Claw. It has a nice little ending there. I would check it out. It's probably probably my favorite wrestling movie since maybe The Wrestler. right? With Mickey Rourke.
You think it's better than The Wrestler?
I don't know. I like them both differently.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen The Wrestler in a while, but yeah. I would say they're different movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to watch this one. I've heard more negative things than good. That's why I was really interested to hear what you were going to say about it. Yeah, that it's funny. You saying the Ric Flair casting, that reminded me for a quick second about when I watched Straight Outta Compton and they introduced Snoop Dogg. And I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Like, right.
It doesn't look anything. And they have to say, oh, it's Snoop Dogg. It's like, okay, yeah. Sure. That's
yeah.
funny. Yeah, so that's cool. I might, you know, as soon as it's available, I'll probably check
yeah. it. Yeah. What think, negativity have you heard about the movie?
I've heard its pacing is pretty bad. And also, like, what you just said about how some things are handled, like, you know, with care and time, and then other things are just super rushed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep hearing, like, the word whiplash associated with this movie.
Nah. It's like people need to check their necks. No, the movie's more than 80% critics, and then fans are above 90. You're going to find your nitpickers, but it's a good movie. It's long. It's 2 hours and 29 minutes, so they do, you know, take their... sorry, 132 minutes. So just over 2 hours, 12 horrible. Minutes, whatever it is. But yeah, no, it's good. Box office, $29.4 million, which makes it, I guess, a success. So there'll be more...
For an A24 movie, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they're going to call that a W. But yeah, check out The Iron Claw.
A24 is teaming up with Kojima to do a Death Stranding movie. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. That's actually something I'll champion, because I feel like that game, I tried to play it, and it was definitely something where it was like, I feel like this could be a movie, and I'd probably enjoy it more. And it's going to be a movie, so...
Yeah,
I'm happy.
The guy that played Ric Flair is Aaron Dean Eisenberg.
Never heard
as Ric Flair. No, me neither. But yeah, all of Von Erichs are featured in there, and you see like somebody represents Bruiser Brody. Chavo Guerrero's in there as the Sheik.
Right. Yeah, I heard that. That's cool.
Yeah, and
he was also he also choreographed a lot of the wrestling. I heard.
Yeah, yeah, and Ryan Nemeth is in there as Gino Hernandez. So there's a bunch of pretty cool little cameos like that. But yeah, check that one out. Let me know what you think. If anybody else has checked it out, send us an email. Let us know what you think. But yeah, The Iron Claw.
Definitely. All right, let's get into the game flow. Apparently there's a new Metal Gear game. Oh boy. I'm not talking about the Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater thing they're doing. I'm talking about Metal Gear 6. Possibly. There's like very light rumors on this. Obviously, Kojima's not going to be involved. I personally believe that Konami is doing this remaster for Snake Eater, and I also heard like a remaster of, or a remake, should I say, of the first Metal Gear Solid is also being worked on. I feel like this is all leading up to a sixth entry. They're definitely banking on Metal Gear right now. They released the trilogy. There's going to be another trilogy or whatever, collection. And I even heard, this is something I never thought I'd hear. They're redoing Metal Gear 5 with David Hayter instead of Kiefer Sutherland, which is hilarious to me because that is something I definitely want to hear. But I guess they're just redoing all these games and eventually just putting them out. And then I guess eventually it'll lead to an inevitable sixth entry. I'm a little concerned about a sixth entry. I've played pretty much all the games, and it's like I could see that this was spearheaded by one person, and that was Hideo Kojima. This series only worked because of Hideo Kojima. Obviously, he has a team of people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this guy's idea... He saw it through to the very end, at least to whatever end he saw. And to me, that is a very competent series. If you're going to remake all this stuff, and I'm talking about Konami now, I have no problem with that. That's cool. Like, as a fan, I welcome that because these games should be, you know, reintroduced to younger people and all that. But the minute you take the liberty of adding to this series, I have an issue. I don't know. I don't think we could do that. I don't like that idea. Well, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I think in terms of a story, I think you've gone as far as you're going to go with the Metal Gear characters, at least within the universe of Hideo Kojima. So to then grab those characters and take creative liberties with them, it'd be different, right? So that's my only part that's worrisome there. But yeah, I feel like the Metal Gear games are going to get... We're going to go like the Resident Evil route, you know, where they start, there'll be like the remakes and the HD upgrades, and it'll just become like this giant mess, right? Of like, 3 comes out here, but 5 comes out over there, and 2's being remade over here, but 3's getting the HD whatever, right? I don't know. So yeah, man, Metal Gear 6, I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing, but... what they're doing is just do a Metal Gear 3 remake, right?
Yeah, just reintroduce everything.
Yeah.
Are you under the notion that, like, you don't want it unless Kojima's involved?
I wouldn't say that, but...
No.
They would have to trust somebody that's, you know, like, that can style the game in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. Yeah.
At first, I thought they were going to remake these games in order, because Snake Eater technically is the first in the whole thing. But then that would mean they would have to remake Portable Ops, which is not a great game. But now that they're remaking the first Metal Gear Solid, that means that, you know, there is no order to be had. So
right.
I don't know what their move's going to be. I don't know what they're going to do. It'll be interesting.
Metal Gear 6. Cool.
Metal Gear Solid 6. Hopefully with David Hayter. I don't know. I'm stoked for the Metal Gear resurgence, but I don't know if I'm ready for a sixth entry. Today was the Xbox Developer Direct. They basically finally showed their cards, I guess. They're going to show what 2024 is going to be all about, which I'll give them credit. All these games are coming out this year, which is something that I feel like they've struggled with a lot, where it's like, this is the year, and then shit gets pushed back, and it's like, oh, next year. Like, this seems like it's slated to be this year, all this. Now, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't care for a lot of these games. But what I will say is, like I said, props to them for giving release dates for this year. Avowed is coming out fall 2024. Aura History Untold, fall 2024. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, May 21st, 2024. That one actually looks pretty cool. I'd put that over the other two. Visions of Mana. Square Enix made a surprise entry in this thing. They weren't like slated to be here, but then like whatever, they were in the video package. I'm interested in this game. The Mana series I'm like loosely familiar with. This one looked very pretty. This one, it reminded me of Quest XI. It was very pretty. Dragon Quest XI kind of looked like this. It's something that I'll probably try. But it's not an Xbox exclusive. That's why it's like it's not really in the conversation. Like, I already have this game wishlisted on PS5, so it's not like this is, you know, it's not an exclusive. So, but the biggest game here that I think people really wanted to see was Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which is one of the worst names I've ever heard. But that aside, I was interested too. I'm not like a hardcore Indiana Jones fan or anything like that, but I was just like, I'm familiar with the movies. I want to know what a game would be like, because I think it would be pretty fun. Lo and behold, the character model actually looks like a young Harrison Ford, so that's pretty cool. I thought his voice was all right. The one thing that destroyed this game for me, straight up, and say it with me now, it's first person. I honestly just thought we were going to get an Uncharted game, you know? Because, like, that is what this is based off of, or what Uncharted is based off of. So I thought, this is perfect. Like, why not get the original idea, which is Indiana Jones, and actually make a proper game? It looks cool. Like, it looks like there are third-person segments or something like that. Like, I can't really tell. Like, I can't tell what's CGI and what's gameplay. But there's a lot of first-person being shown here. And, you know, I mean, I know I'm in the minority. Like, I'm aware of that. But for me, any kind of interest I had in this game is kind of gone because of this. But, you know, if I'm just judging it from, like, the trailer, it looks interesting. It looks really faithful to the movies and to the characters. And I'm sure the Indiana Jones diehards are, you know, crying right now of happiness. But for me, this is just first-person Uncharted. And I'm not I'm not into it, you know?
There you go.
I don't know if you talked
for 3 minutes just to bury it at the end.
Just to bury it at the end. That's my style. I give people hope and then I crush it at the end.
Well, looks like nothing but crap.
But it looks pretty. It looks pretty though. Like it looks good. I'm not going to lie. The graphics look great. He looks great. Whatever. The game could be good, but
yeah,
whatever. I just wanted a third person game and that's not what I'm getting. So I don't care anymore.
Mm.
But for those that do, congrats. Yeah, so that's Xbox. And, you know, as little as they showed here, that is still more than PlayStation. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what are you playing, Christopher?
Resident Evil 6 right now.
Damn,
and very easily the worst Resident Evil I've ever played. Like, it's
that's what I've heard.
Like, it's... First of all, it's really long. I'm like 12 hours into this thing, and I still haven't beat it. So I checked. I go, how long to beat this game? It's like 17 to 21 hours. I was like, oh, man. I mean, and it's kind of like... Yeah, and it's kind of like... It's very much like Time Crisis in a way. There's like button prompts and things like that. So in that sense, it's kind of like a fun game. Things keep happening. But it's been stripped of everything. Like, you're there trying to kill as many zombies as you can with all these different weapons where ammo's all over the place. So it's not even a Resident Evil survival horror game anymore. It's, you know, it's basically a shooter almost. And so... And the story is, you know, it's wacky, typical Resident Evil stuff, but it's action-packed, but it just gets boring after a while, because it's kind of like, okay, they just keep adding onto it, and the explosions are bigger, and the boss fights are longer, and et cetera, but it definitely doesn't feel like a Resident Evil game. It looks like a Resident Evil game, but that's about it. The graphics are nice and everything like that, but, man, it's just... I just can't get into it. It's probably the only Resident Evil game where I'm playing it. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get to the end of this, you know, because it's just, can't wait to get to the end of this. And after that, the Resident Evils get good again, right? Because then you have 7, which, what's the name of 7 again?
Biohazard?
I forget. Biohazard, yeah.
I think it's Biohazard.
And then you have your village, right? Then it gets really good, yeah. So it flips over to first person in the next one. Then I'm caught up, yeah. So there's nothing but good stuff after this. But man, it's just, it's wild. And sometimes it's kind of like, what? Like, what is this game? Like, I'll stop myself. I'm like, this has deviated so much from what Resident Evil was. You know, this was more like, I wouldn't call it Call of Duty. I guess, yeah, there's a little bit of Call of Duty. It's kind of like Call of Duty, but they're trying to do like some weird arcade version of like, Uncharted, right? There's some Uncharted stuff in there, and the button prompts and everything like that. It's just wacky. Yeah, yeah. So can't wait to get through that one and then move on to whatever's next. But yeah, this Resident Evil 6, man. I got it for a few bucks.
Do you think you'll see it through?
Yeah. I'll probably finish it.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got it super cheap, so it's not like...
Yeah, because that game was like, you know, that game was always like $20, $30. Like $20, $30. That's crazy. And so when it went down to like a few bucks, I was like, okay, now's the time to get it. And I knew what I was getting into, but man, it was just getting long in the tooth. And I Googled how long to beat this son of a bitch. 17 to 21 hours. What? In this economy.
You hate to see that.
So I was like, oh man, I couldn't wait to get
it. I kind of had that experience with the first game I'll talk about. Star Ocean, the second story R. I played that at the end of December going into January, so I finished it right before I got sick pretty much. And I like the game a lot. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
But there was a point in time where I was like, okay, are we almost done here? Like, and then I looked up the how long to beat and it said 40 hours and I was only like 18 hours in and I'm like, God damn, like how come there's double of what I've done so far? That doesn't sound right. But sure enough, it wasn't right because that was accounting for both character playthroughs that you can do when I was only going to do one. So anyway, I beat that game about 20, 23 hours, something like that. And like I said, I loved it, man. It was really good. I think Square Enix really has a winning formula with that art style. And in this case, it was like 2D pixeled models with 3D environments, which looked insane.
Yeah.
I like the effects, the graphical effects, like the music. Everything was really good about it. So, yeah,
that's cool.
I might check out another Star Ocean. I might. But this one had 99 endings, and I only got 3. So
that's the one that I played back on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah. Oh, man, I saw videos comparing the two. God, it's so different.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's so different.
That's wild, yeah. Yeah, no, good game. Great though. Music. Great music. It's got a great story.
Yeah.
That was a fun one, yeah.
Yeah. The original didn't have voice acting, right?
I don't think so, no. You had to read.
You had to read. This one, you listen and read.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a good game. I encourage people to check it out. Okay, so after that, I went through a lull. Like, I got sick. I didn't want to see any video games. I didn't want to think about any video games. The only thing I've been dabbling in very, very, like, sparsely is Mafia 3 again, where I'm going in and doing, like, the DLCs that I missed out on.
Yeah.
That game is still fun. It's an awesome game. I did the one I just recently beat was, I don't know if you did it, The Cult. There's like a cult that you're trying to find.
That's awesome.
To the bottom of.
Yeah.
That shit was fucked up. That was like, cool. I'm like, what kind of mafia game is this? There's like, this is fucking crazy.
Well, they do take liberties with those stories.
Yeah. No, that was cool though. That was the right kind of freaky for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm loosely touching that, but not really. What I am playing though, up until 2 days ago, or starting 2 days ago, I got into the world of like fan-made games. So there's two. Super Smash Brothers Crusade, which is obviously a Smash Brothers fan game, but they add all kinds of characters and all kinds of stages, and this game is constantly getting updated. You could play online. It has its own game modes. The graphical style is obviously like, it's not 3D like the real games, but it's like the animated 2D style. And I play it with an Xbox controller, and it feels great. Like, it honestly surprised me how much, like, just the quality of it. Like, this could easily be, like, a nice little indie game on the Switch eShop. Like, it's that good. So, yeah, I really enjoy that. That's been kind of holding me over. And then another one that I literally just beat yesterday. Castlevania Symon's Destiny is basically a Doom mod. To where, like, so it looks like Doom, but you have a whip, and you're in Dracula's castle. You're storming Dracula's castle as Symon, and you're it's basically the NES game repackaged into Doom as a first person, you know, whipping game.
Yeah.
It's a crazy project. Like, when I came across this, I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't like first person, but. That it's like, I love Doom. Like, I'll always love Doom. So if it looks like Doom, I'll play it. And using the mouse and keyboard combination is actually really cool. So yeah, as far as fan games go, these are quality. And Castlevania Symon's Destiny will take you like 2 to 3 hours to beat. It's not that long. Yeah, so I really enjoy myself with this. I'm looking for more fan games. If anyone has any requests, I'll check it out. But yeah, I'm very happy with these two. Damn near impressed.
We're back, I think.
I think I lost you. Yeah, anyway, I was just saying that I was impressed with these fan games.
So why made you pop Mafia 3 back in? Because you beat that a while back.
Yeah, I've been, I got the Mafia bug again, and watching like Sopranos theories and Godfather theories and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me pop in Mafia. At first, I was going to play Mafia 2, but then, I don't know, I just popped in Mafia 3. Oh, you know why I popped in Mafia 3? The digital copy is on my PS5, and it was right there, so I was like, whatever, I'll just play this one.
Yeah.
It's still such a fun game. I remember when I did play through it, it was like, it just overstayed its welcome. Like, it was just a little too long.
It was a little too long,
and then I just
yeah.
didn't care for the DLCs, right? The DLCs, I was like, I'm going to put this down and come back. And I'm glad I came back, because I feel like I'm having, like, a nice, fresh new experience.
Yeah, when I did my review of that game, I said that the DLC was so good that those missions should have been in the game. Aside from... The problem with that game is it gets repetitive. It's like, you go in... You whack everybody, you kill the main capo guy or whatever, and then that's it. Then you own that place, and then you move on to the next thing, rinse and repeat. The other thing I don't like about that game is nothing really happens out in the real world. Like, you're never going to get mugged or attacked by a random or something random is going to happen, unless it's, like, part of the story and it's scripted that way. You're free to, like, drive around and everything like that, but the graphics are just beautiful.
Everything happens at a designated spot.
Yeah.
Like, you go to that spot, that's when something happens. I know what you mean. I've had that problem with all three of the Mafia games, where it's like the open world, there's absolutely nothing to do except get like Playboy covers and
yeah, yeah, else. Yeah.
Like,
Exactly.
It's a very dead open world. Mafia 3 is probably the best because there are cases where you're driving by and like there might be like a rival gang kind of chilling. But again, there's no like reason to go out of your way to kill these guys. You're not going to get anything out of it.
So in Mafia 3?
It's, yeah, in Mafia 3.
Oh, I've never been approached by other gangsters.
No, you don't approach them, but let's just say you're driving somewhere.
Yeah.
You'll see the red dots on the map, and it's just other gangsters chilling.
Oh, but yeah, like, yeah,
just,
yeah.
It's, yeah. It might just be two guys that you could kill, but it's like, there's no reason to do it. You get no reward for it.
Right.
Like,
it's yeah, it's just fun if you got nothing else to do.
Yeah, if you love shooting people, yeah. Like, go ahead. But yeah, I don't know. Playing it this time, it was like, I'm definitely appreciating it more. Because the cult stuff was the first thing I did, and that is more like, you investigate a lot, but then once it comes down to like, the action, it's a lot of like I'm not really ducking for cover. I'm literally shooting and moving and trying to get to the next place because a lot of these enemies are like coming after you with a knife. So they're not ducking either. They're
right.
Literally like going after you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have no choice but to move.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a fun game. I want Mafia 4, man. It kind of made me realize. I'm like, man, this series has been like very quiet for at least 7 years now, maybe more, 8 years. So it's like, give me Mafia 4, goddammit. What the fuck?
I think they're working on it.
These are, I heard it might be in Vegas or something like that, but I think this is a solid series. It's very, very good.
Yeah, Mafia 4, apparently this year.
Okay.
But we'll see. But that would be good. Yeah, Mafia 3 did a lot of things right, like in the right direction, but I think it just needs some more creativity and, you know, it become a much better game in that sense for sure. And yeah, the Super Smash Brothers thing looks crazy. I just don't have enough time to play fan-made games, but that does look cool. And that's right up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, Castlevania, Simon's Destiny, anything that looks like Doom. And we've seen that a bunch of different times, right? Everything just sort of looks like the original Doom.
Yeah, Doom is probably the most modded game ever.
Perhaps, yeah. 100%, yeah.
But to be honest with you, the reason why I got into fan games was I looked at my games and nothing was grabbing me. Like, I don't feel like playing anything, really.
Yeah.
And then I started dabbling in fan games because I watched, like, a YouTube video on it. But you know why? It's because I am so ready for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth that that's all I really want to play at this point.
Right.
So I'm just like, I don't care to play anything else until I play that. I'm ready. I'm in that mode. I'm all in for it. Like, I just need February 29th to come here so I can just get into that.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it. Like, literally, I don't feel like playing anything else. So
February 29th. Are you going to play Remake on your way to playing that one?
No, I've platinumed Remake.
Yeah.
I've platinumed Intergrade. I've done everything I can do.
Yeah.
I did Crisis Core. I played the original Final Fantasy VII like last year, and I almost platinumed that. Like, I'm pretty prepared for Rebirth.
Right.
I'm good. I'm good. I even saw, I'm pretty sure I saw Advent Children at some point, which is hilarious. Did you know that's going back into theaters for a limited time?
Which one?
Advent Children, the Final Fantasy VII.
No, no.
Yeah, they're putting it back in theaters for the marketing Rebirth.
Yeah, for like a week or a couple of days.
Interesting. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I like those limited releases when they put things back in the theater for like a week or two.
It's fun. Like Christmas comes, they put Home Alone in the theater.
Right. Oh yeah, awesome. Was it? Was that one of them?
Yeah, they did that 1 year. I remember I almost went to go see it, but then I ended up not going.
Yeah.
That was cool to see.
Yeah, I know. I like it when they do shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And I think that's going to do it for us. This was episode 82 of The Cafe. Chris, throw out the plugs on last
Yeah, Rap Podcast Fresh on Instagram. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show. We'll be back next week with another Cafe and the Torres and Acapella show coming up shortly as well. You can join us at Podcast Fresh on Instagram and Torres and the Capello Show on Instagram as well. We're also on Facebook, YouTube at Podcast Fresh, and on X at Podcast Fresh TO. What else, Pac?
I guess for now that's it. I mean, you guys can check out the YouTube channel, Podcast Fresh. Check out the Gaming Asylum YouTube channel. There's a Gaming Asylum Instagram. You guys can check that out. And yeah, I think we're just we're going to get back into the swing of things. So there'll be a lot more in the coming coming time. All right, everybody. Thank you for downloading this episode. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye. Podcast Fresh.